NASCAR season officially gets underway tomorrow with the Daytona 500. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Greetings and hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
She's back!
Well, I was only gone 1 week.
Felt like much longer.
Yeah, it would be our bad luck just the day that we decide we're going to do the show live that Mother Nature had other
half
plans.
Half of California drowns.
Yes, oh, and man. I was out in the middle of that. I was doing great until I ran into flooding.
Yeah. How often does I-5?
I was only an hour and a half from home.
And
would have been in time, plenty of time for doing the show. Except I had to backtrack.
Yep. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We are pre-recorded this week. Last week was doing the show live by myself without benefit of Brenda. And we are going to try, for those who keep asking, we're going to try to occasionally do the show live. But noon on Saturday, because of our time off structure, just absolutely bisects a weekend. So
there's that, and then there's also the thing when we do it live, there's some other things that have to happen.
Yeah. It takes twice as long to produce the show.
Right.
When we do it live, which is odd. I know.
You have to understand how the radio station's structured.
Anyway, we do talk about goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news you can use, and it seems like lately, by the way, show brought to you by Advanced Automotive of Reading. It seems that more and more we open the show with the latest panic.
Tech panic.
The latest tech panic and thing that you need to be worried about. And this week, of course, is no exception. We got a couple of specific stories and a few stories. By the way, if you follow along on Flipboard, subscribe to Flipboard. Every time the little number there of number of subscribers goes up, I smile. If you have the Flipboard app on your phone, you can search out Boomer Tech Radio, and you'll be able to add it to your list of things that you can read. Also, we are on, of course, TuneIn Radio. And before too much time goes by, we should be on iTunes. That's if we pass their screening process. But considering some of the shows that I've heard on iTunes,
I think we'll do fine.
I think the bar is pretty damn low.
Well, we certainly will come in under the radar on this, I'm sure.
We listened to a couple of podcasts that we were just going, okay. But our show has to be broadcast friendly also.
Right. So that's what makes it an easy pass for iTunes, I'm sure.
Yeah. A lot of these shows that are strictly online, it's how many times can you drop the F-bomb in 5 minutes, I swear.
Which takes
no brains.
Which social group can we pick on and make disparaging remarks about? And you know, I'm not a bleeding heart socialist by any stretch of the imagination, but seriously, people, that's entertaining. That's stuff you want to listen to.
That's entertainment. Yes.
No, it's not. Neither was that.
Before we get into the warnings of the week, because there's a bunch of them. And things that people were freaking out about. In the Flipboard, we've got 4 technology articles you must read today. This comes to us from Forbes magazine. And pretty good article. Now, the big news, of course, NASA making a discovery of
seven
Earth-sized planets around a dwarf star. Now, there's a Disney joke in there somewhere.
I hadn't thought
about
that.
Is it a white dwarf? So you would have Snow White dwarf and the seven dwarf planets?
Could be a red dwarf.
Yeah, could be. It is quite a find, and while it's not likely that these planets harbor life, it is further indication that Earth-ish planets are far more plentiful in the cosmos than we have previously been able to prove.
Well, there's quite a few planets around this star, but there are seven that are in what we call the Goldilocks zone from our perspective. They're in an Earth-like orbit from the point of view of distance from the sun, so the temperatures are a certain way, and that means the possibility of having liquid water would be there. And it's a really interesting article, and it's an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. They hope to be able to tell with further study whether there are signatures in the atmospheres of these planets, if they have one, whether there's oxygen or something like that. And if there's oxygen in the atmosphere, then there would be life similar to what we know it as.
Where there is water, something will grow in it. Ask anybody who's developed a leak in their cooling system in their car.
Well, there have to be other organisms around to take advantage of that.
Something will try to grow in it, yes.
So it seems to be, at least from our perspective. So, how much carbon base is in the atmospheres and that sort of thing. And some of these may not have atmospheres. Mars doesn't have much of an atmosphere because
solar wind blew it away.
Exactly.
Because it has no magnetosphere.
Right. It needs a magnetosphere to protect it. So there's a little bit of one there that persists because of gravity, but it's slowly being eroded as well. Mm-hmm. And so very exciting stuff, though, in the science world. That is just beyond cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. It's only 41... light years away.
Yeah, and which means that if we solve a few problems, it is not outside the realm of possibility that a multi-generational craft of some sort could make the trip.
We would need FTL, faster than light speed, though. And so far, that's kind of eluded science.
Yeah. And may you live in interesting times.
Yep, it's just amazing, though.
Speaking of interesting times, our modern-day Edison, Tesla, you name it, name the various, not quite Einstein, but as far as the entrepreneur coming up with pretty crazy ideas that actually turn out to be very practical, Elon Musk says humans need to merge with machines to remain relevant.
Resistance is futile. We're all going to become the Borg. I don't think that's what he's suggesting.
Well,
particularly
at the World
right?
Government Summit in Dubai, where he was also launching Tesla as a brand. He says, over time, I think we will probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. So, in other words, more of a cybernetic combination. And if you want to think back on it, when a person is fitted with a prosthetic, that is a form of turning a person into a cyborg. Especially if the prosthetic has any sort of electrical motor that is activated by the person. So the cochlear implants that require an amplifier, pacemakers make us a form of cyborg. So
the deep brain electrodes stop tremors and Parkinsonians.
Yeah. So He goes on to say it's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and the digital version of yourself. He says computers can communicate at about a trillion bits a second. Meanwhile, humans can communicate at about 10 bits a second. So how do you work this interface so that we stay a person, but we enhance our abilities? And does that cross some sort of creepy threshold?
That's a really interesting question. When you look at the stuff that Elon Musk has done, he seems to be kind of ahead of the game in where things actually end up going. So he might be onto something that can either be a very interesting or a bit creepy, depending on your perspective, I suppose.
Yeah, so there's a thought-provoking work by a Hebrew University professor named Yuval Noah Harari. He had an interview with Time last week about his new book called Homo Do, A Vision of Humankind's Future, this New York Times book review that you can link to if you go to the Flipboard app and look up the story. He says...
I would believe that's Deuce.
Homo Deus, yes. Like Deus Ex Machina and things like that. He argues that biological engineering, cyborg engineering, and the engineering of non-organic beings will transform Homo sapiens into the next step on the evolutionary ladder, Homo Deus, essentially godlike creatures. Now, interestingly, our new favorite and sadly waiting for the next season show, The Expanse, which is available, I think, is it on Netflix? I think we're watching it through. It's either Netflix or Amazon that we're watching it on. Explores this creation of what they call the protomolecule, which is a... We haven't quite figured out what it is yet, except it's scary as hell and runs on electricity.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
But it is apparently an intelligence.
And it glows blue.
And it glows blue. But we are living in science fiction times, are we not?
Indeed.
Closer to home... are you done poking at that thing yet?
Well, I was looking up, of course, Deus being God.
Yeah.
As you pointed out.
Yeah, that's Latin for the deity.
Right, I think that's how you say it. I'm not sure, though. I we'll look it up. Yeah. There we go.
So, we got a couple of warnings to issue. So... Repeat, I'm still getting emails from my friend who says, unable to display message, click here to reload. Don't do it. A friend of ours, how did our friend of ours lose the use of her iPad?
Well, we think that's what's going on. It was one of those where update or it wasn't an update. It was something or another. Something's not working, you know, click here. And she went, okay. So that's a prime potential for downloading malware.
Mm-hmm.
And now, coincidentally, she's getting these phishing calls from Apple, which is like getting phishing calls from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Neither Microsoft, nor Apple, nor Facebook, nor your bank, nor whatever really cares that you exist. They were not going to ask you for logon information. And so she had listened
not gonna offer to, fix
to our show enough to know that she really shouldn't respond to the phone calls. But I said, ooh, might have a problem. And I said, it's insidious. You know, just when one hole is plugged, something else comes up. And for the unwary or you're used to seeing things like this and it's been okay in the past, the bad guys know this.
Yeah.
And they put out these things that they're pretty sure you're going to click on. If you're not really paying attention to what it says or whatever. If you're at all suspicious of any of these things, such as when you got the Google log off and you log on here, it's like, no, I'm going to go over to a different device and log on over here.
My desktop computer and everything appeared to be normal.
And you also initiated the contact.
Yeah.
And I said, that's okay that you may have a problem with your Apple device, but you need to contact Apple tech support. And ask them, hey, this is going on, you know, maybe is there a problem? Do not call the 1-800 number that they give you. Or
in the pop-up.
In the pop-up or on a phone call, any phone number they give you, even if it's not an 800 number, don't call them back.
Yeah.
Because anytime, this is from Apple tech support or Microsoft tech support, I just start laughing. Yeah. And I say, guy, aren't you guys done with that yet?
Nope.
You know, and they hang up on me
because well,
they know
run
that I'm
Nigerian
onto them.
Nigerian money scam, too.
Well,
you know.
I suppose it goes in circles.
Yeah.
This is difficult because the devices are so much part of our lives. We stay so connected that way. We do business this way, electronically, over the internet, whatever, through pads, tablets, laptops, desktop computers. Any computer form, your smartphone, and yet you have to be so vigilant against these attacks. It's almost, I can see why some people say, you know what, I'm done with that. Yeah. I don't need that in my life. And so they go deviceless. And there's a certain logic there.
There is a logic to it, but it can be a little difficult. It's made difficult. By the way, this new scam... of course, we all know there's a ton of false advertisements, scams, pop-ups, trying to get you to download malicious software where you become the weak link in the security. This one looks like it's being aimed at Chrome on both Windows and potentially Mac OS. Neo Smart Technologies found it. The new Font Wasn't Found malware looks like a real Chrome pop-up. Now, this happens, infected websites show a bunch of random characters. Then a pop-up that impersonates Chrome will appear asking you to install a missing font so that you can load the page directly.
First of all, you shouldn't have to do that. There's a red flag right there.
That should happen in the background automatically.
Exactly.
The pop-up, which there's a picture of a typical one in the article that we have on the 9to5 Google, includes a couple of pieces of fake information. It's just a little pop-up box says, the Hofler text font wasn't found. The web page you're trying to load is displayed incorrectly as it uses a blah, blah font. To fix the error and display the text, you have to update the, quote, Chrome font pack. Then it has some, it says manufacturer, Google writes, current version, latest version. So it looks like a legitimate update. And the big blue friendly button says update.
Right.
When you click it, you've launched the payload, and your machine now becomes infected and spreads the virus further. And it's unclear exactly what the malware is doing.
Right. And that's the insidious part about it. So you might think that it is stealing passwords, and it very well may be. That's just not a good thing at all. And again, this is the same thing of being able to maintain these things, and when these pop-ups come up, if you're at all suspicious, I mean, even just a little bit suspicious.
If you're on your desktop, if
don't
you get
it.
One of these pop-ups, hold down the power button on your computer and force a shutdown. Don't click the X because the X has been reassigned
as a
go-ahead.
Yeah, that's a go-ahead, a launch point.
Hold down your power, and I don't recommend this unless you're in this situation. Hold down the power button for about 10 seconds, and your computer will force into a shutdown. When it does that, Windows and OS X actually both
dumps
will
a bunch
assume.
Of data. Yep.
Yeah, they both assume that something really bad happened that forced a crash. What they will do is backtrack to the last known successful launch of the operating system
when you start it up again
and reload those parameters.
Yep. Is it inconvenient? Yes. Because the document you're working on may not be saved. That is a pain in the butt, admittedly, but that's a whole
better than
less
ransomware.
Painful than having ransomware, malware, having your keystrokes logged.
Yep.
That is way worse.
If you are on a laptop, unplug the brick, flip the laptop over, and if it is removable, take the battery out.
So when
that will force the RAM to completely clear. Now, a smartphone and most tablets and the newer Macs, you can't do that.
And when you say the brick, you mean the power pack.
The power brick, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, protect yourself, kind of take these precautions. Now, yesterday I had an incident where I picked up my phone and I had an alert showing that it was a Gmail. Needs work, needs attention, sign in again. Well, I went, wait a minute, that don't seem right. Turns out it wasn't just me. According to the Next Web, Gmail unexpectedly signed a bunch of people out. Some people complained about being unable to connect to Google Wi-Fi and OnHub routers. A lot of people said Gmail unexpectedly signed them out. It appears to be no immediate threat. Google's not saying exactly what happened. They issued a message.
They probably
saying,
don't know.
Yeah. We've gotten reports about some users being signed out of their accounts unexpectedly. We're investigating, but not to worry. There is no indication. Don't you love it when a corporate entity says, don't worry.
Be happy.
Yeah. There's no indication this is connected to any phishing or account security threats. Please try to sign in again at accounts.google.com. If you cannot remember your password, use the two-step verification. And that's a good idea anyway on a Google account, is to go ahead. Yes, it's a pain to have to punch in a number that will come in as a message on your smartphone. But assuming that your smartphone and your computer haven't both been stolen, this is a way that you're going to be able to protect yourself. And how about a third of people still don't lock out their smartphones because it's too much trouble to tap in the code or put your finger over the button?
And interestingly enough, according to this article, affected users with multiple accounts, for those that have that, the trouble seemed to be most prevalent in accounts with disabled two-step verification. So that's kind of interesting because I've disabled that. It's like, what do you need my cell phone number for or whatever? You know, I've been kind of reluctant to hand that kind of stuff out. And so there's sometimes for your own good, for your own protection.
Yeah.
Sometimes these things are good, and it does put you back in business much faster if you have the two-step authentication. So two-step authentications would be things like if you forget your password, you have to answer a security question, you know, your mother's maiden name, which is a horrible one, but nevertheless, you have to answer that correctly. And those are the questions, security questions that you get to pick or set it, when you make an account with somebody. That would be an element of two-step verification. Mm-hmm. So they can verify that it's somebody who has legitimate or authorized access to the account.
Meanwhile, the content delivery network Cloudflare has reported that user data from 3,400 websites was leaked and cached by search engines. There was a bug in their system. Sites affected over the course of several months include major ones like Uber, Fitbit, and dating site OkCupid. 1Password also uses Cloudflare, but say that their encryption means no customer data was exposed. The leaks were spotted by a Google security researcher. Now, the latest updates are that Uber says very little of their traffic actually goes through Cloudflare. They do not believe that passwords were exposed. Same with OkCupid. Smart thing is, this may be time to go ahead and update your passwords. Use a password generator or our method of picking a phrase that means something to you. Convert all the vowels to a symbol and making that your password. Because then you can generate the password and write it down on the spot.
Yeah, and it also makes it tougher for the bad guys to bust into. If the computer comes across something that's probably a little more complicated after a certain amount of time and can't break into it, it'll just move on to the next one. Speaking of which, on a fairly frequent basis here at Boomer Tech Radio, bring up the issue of password security.
Mm-hmm.
And here is a real story that proves our point and why you hear about it from us so often and why we say repeatedly, do not use 123456 or password or Open Sesame.
My Little Secret.
Yeah, something like that, that are well-known, popular passwords. Because I guarantee you, if somebody's trying to hack in, be it a computer, you know, virus or whatever, or a person, that's the first thing they're going to try. My brother was sitting in a movie theater and could clearly see, it was sort of like stadium seating, so he could clearly see people down below him, in front of him. And that person in front of him unlocked their phone with 1234. And he goes, well, that's amusing. Let's see. And then he noticed the second person did the same thing because he was able to see what they were typing in. He goes, well, that's amusing. Let's see what happens. And he observed 2 more people, 4 altogether that he could see that used 1234 as their passcode to get into their device right in front of him. And I said, I love it.
Completely oblivious to surroundings.
Well, it's not only could he see what they were typing, which is, you know, neither here nor there, but if someone is going to pick up that device, you lose it, you forget where it is, whatever, and you pick that device up, and you try 1234, boom, you're in.
Yeah.
And it's – seriously, people, this is why we talk about this.
That's the first thing a hacker's going to
try. Absolutely. And these folks either don't want to change it, they want it to be simple, and we've talked many times, like Bob just mentioned, use a phrase, take the vowels, turn them to symbols, you know, use the exclamation point as a for an L or a 1 for an L, yeah. Something like that. Even though that's common, you know, if you make it too complicated.
If you pick a fancy phrase like, my dog has fleas, and then you change all the vowels into something else, upper and lowercase all every certain letter or something,
right.
Upper and lowercase every other letter, something to make it difficult for a random generator to just come up with the password.
Are they a pain to type in? Yeah, but you can create a locker on your computer that has this stuff in it with a password and copy paste.
Yeah. we've talked about a number of password managers that'll do the trick. Boomer Tech Radio, I'm Bob Shees, Brenda. More tech news that you can use right after these messages.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. A corrupt and lawless government like California create laws that benefit themselves. How can we follow their example when the government who make the laws refuse to obey the laws they don't like? Understand this. Laws are not made for the law-abiding, but for the lawless. So what happens when laws are deliberately made to make the law-abiding lawless? The Bible is clear. When man's laws contradict God's laws, we have no choice but to obey God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
It's termite swarm season again when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
The thrill of high-risk athleticism of the circus meets the grace of dance at Redding's Cascade Theater with Diavolo's new show, Volo, led by former Cirque du Soleil choreographer Jacques Haim. Heart-stopping aerobatics, gravity-defying choreography, a spectacle for the whole family. Volo by Diavolo, February 28th at the Cascade Theater. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Redding, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work. Something that's earned advanced automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Every week, Boomer Tech Radio brings you the tech news you can use in spite of occasional mispronunciations. I'm never going to get Musk's name right. I don't know why I have that mental block on Elon Musk.
You know, that's like somebody saying our last name, Belongi.
Yeah, well,
you know, how irritating is that? Yeah. It's annoying.
I doubt if I'll hear from Mr. Musk's lawyers.
Well, probably not. To that end,
to say we're below that radar.
I didn't have any. I think most of us are well below that radar.
I think it'd be cool to hear from him, but no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it would. I mean, can you imagine an interview? I mean,
that would
just be
about
awesome.
The Hyperloop?
Yeah. That would just be awesome. Yeah. No. But, yeah.
We don't exist in Mr. Musk's universe.
We're too small. But I didn't take any Latin, so I don't know much about Latin. So what I was saying was deus, and you said something else is deus.
Deus, okay.
Yeah. So D-E-U-S, and of course, that was back to the previous segment.
They don't offer Latin anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
my mom took
it.
My mom took it in high school.
Matter of fact, Musk is in part of our next story here that comes up. But by the way, all the stories that we cover here on Boomer Tech Radio show up, most of the stories. We do our anecdotes, too, but we curate them in our Boomer Tech Radio magazine. Interesting story in artificial intelligence and robotics, about the three biggest industries about to be wiped out by robots. You think this isn't going to happen?
I haven't really delved into the article, but anything in manufacturing comes to mind.
Yeah.
Vehicles come to mind, such as trucks or some, you know, cabs or whatever.
Most of us are in the position of the textile workers of the 17th century. Of the Luddites of the 18th century, of the saboteurs of the 18th century, who would block up the machinery so that it would break and they got put back to work. There's a rising chorus of concern among the tech leaders in the United States about how quickly robots will take away human jobs. Stephen Hawking has warned about the peril in the past, saying...
Yep.
The automation of factories has already decimated jobs in traditional manufacturing, and the rise of artificial intelligence is likely to extend this job destruction deep into the middle classes, with only the most caring, creative, or supervisory roles remaining.
Okay, I have a bone to pick with this doom and gloom approach.
Well,
destruction, you know, panic. Whatever. Yes, it is going to occur. I have very little doubt of that in my own mind. Now, I could be wrong, but just looking at things, people will adjust.
Yes.
There will be changes, and some of them are going to be extremely uncomfortable for folks. I get that. But this putting a value judgment on it, I think, really bothers me. That is poor journalism, if you ask me.
Well, the stupid thing to do would be to try to pass laws.
Right,
to keep it from happening, because somebody will do it, because it's more efficient. So let's look at what we do, how we do business right now in terms of manufactured goods. We have a factory somewhere in the world that brings in a pile of raw materials via a transportation methodology. All these raw materials are then put on assembly lines and turned into widgets, things, items, durable goods.
And sometimes those things are made of other things. So you got parts widgets over here and there and there and there.
Right.
And those all have to go via some transportation method over to the factory that makes the big widget.
So you take the big widget and you put it in a very elaborate protective cushion carton, let's picture a refrigerator or a washing machine.
Some kind of packaging.
Being made in Shenzhen, China.
It's in some kind of packaging.
Or Korea. It gets put up. You take a bunch of these, put them on a truck. The truck goes down to the shipyard. The shipyard through probably automation or very minimal human interaction, puts all these things, all these containers on a ship. The ship comes across the ocean. Every step of the way, you're burning a pile of fossil fuel right now.
Well, or you're using some kind of transportation method.
Right.
And you have handlers, yeah, which are usually people. There's some robotics, but not a lot yet.
Yeah.
And in the end, when the ship gets to its destination across
it is
the reverse,
and
right,
put on
the,
another form of,
right,
transportation.
The process is reversed.
Down to until it finally gets to the store where you take it home.
Right.
Wouldn't it make a whole lot more sense, instead of a massive manufacturing facility somewhere that eats a pile of electricity, it occupies space whether it is working or not, and replace that with a regional or neighborhood manufacturing facility that is highly automated, and then you're working off of templates. Instead of building lots of things, and you have to build more things than you actually think you're going to sell so that you can meet, you can guarantee meeting demand, right? So you end up with a bunch of obsolete things that never see the retail market and end up going back to the scrap heap. That's stupid.
Well, the thing about,
or if the thing doesn't sell.
From a logistical perspective and an economic perspective, that makes sense. But how do you still manufacture the little widgets that get turned into the big widgets? And those widgets then, so we have 3D printing and things like that, yeah, which is very possible. Absolutely. So you create on demand is what you're talking,
right,
about.
You have a robot system can be reprogrammed to do many different things. Instead of a automated piece of machinery that costs millions of dollars and does exactly one thing, you have very versatile, reprogrammable systems that can, based on what the templates are that they receive,
retool, if you will,
be retooled on the spot to perform different tasks.
You still have to get the raw materials from somewhere,
right,
and bring them in, but it may reduce something.
If you are doing this on a regional level instead of an international level, one, you're creating work because somebody has to maintain these things, work on these things, oversee these things. And second of all, you're cutting down the use of so much fuel to move this stuff around when it doesn't really need to be moved around. That's what I'm seeing.
I think you should run for office.
So let's go on to say what Elon Musk had to say about the rise of the machines at the World Government Summit in Dubai. What about mass unemployment? This is going to be a huge social challenge. There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better than a human. These are not things that I wish will happen. These are simply things that I think probably will happen.
And it makes a lot of sense. I want to say, well, you always need humans to fix the robots. Well, what about when the robots get good enough to fix the robots?
To fix themselves. Bill Gates has proposed that governments start taxing robotic manufacturing the same way that we tax human workers. In other words, a value-added tax on the manufacturer at each stage of the process. Still going to be a lot cheaper than what they have to pay in terms of medical care and insurance and unemployment and all that stuff.
You don't have any of that.
Yeah. Gates says you cross the threshold of job replacement of certain activities all sort of at once. So, you know, warehouse work, driving, room cleanup, quite a few that are meaningful job categories that in the next 20 years will go away. To be blunt, going back to the article, jobs are vanishing much faster than anyone ever imagined. And we've been sort of ignoring the warning signs, thinking that, oh, it'll just go away. This is in the future. This is a science fiction thing. It ain't really going to happen. We're going to continue to do stuff the same way all the time. Currently in the United States, when we go to transportation and warehousing, there are 600,000 Uber drivers, which is a job that didn't exist 5 years ago.
Yeah, fairly new thing, actually.
181,000 conventional taxi drivers, 168,000 transit drivers, 505,000 school bus drivers, and 1 million truck drivers. Uber just bought a self-driving truck company. And as self-driving cars become legal in more states, we will likely see a rapid automation of these driving jobs. Simple math. For about $30,000, you can refit a truck to replace a $40,000 a year human trucker who takes vacations and is prone to getting sick and will be less efficient as time goes by. So entire warehouses are being automated. Look at Amazon.
Well, so this is interesting. They're working with a retail store where customers pretty much just walk in, get what they want, walk out.
Yeah.
And there's no interaction with human being. So how does that work? The products all have codes on them. You have an account set up. You know, it goes to your credit card, what have you. And so it's not that you're not paying for it. It's sort of like going through the toll booth at the Golden Gate, and there's nobody there. They take a picture of your license plate, and they send you a bill.
Yep.
So it's a very similar thing. There's no humans there, and yet you still end up paying the
toll.
Yeah,
how many toll workers got laid off who thought their jobs were secure?
Mm-hmm.
So
gotta wonder.
This is going to happen.
Same kind of thing.
And this is where, and I know I'm not making any friends with this statement, but I'm going to say it because it's the truth. This is where the activists and union folks have just shot themselves squarely in the foot by successfully lobbying steady increases to get, quote, a living wage. It makes doing business very difficult, and businesses will find another way. That other way is to automate the process.
Well, even without that, there's still going to be a drive to be efficient, consistent, more error-free and cheaper. That is what drives how things work.
Yeah.
And there's many, many different professions that could be affected by this. There's also
restaurant workers,
right? But there's also going to be the handcrafted approach for some,
right.
Probably fairly pricey. So there will be, you know, it's not necessarily going to be available to everyone economically. But there's still going to be the chef that has, you know, the real food.
Yeah, exactly.
And the pizza's not being designed and put together in the truck as it automatically drives from location to location as it takes orders. And you have an automated pizza truck. You know, you want pizza, and here it is delivered to your door, nice and hot, right out of the oven, in the truck that has no driver or workers in it because everything is automated on robotics.
Yeah.
And I to some extent, I welcome a certain amount of automation in a fast food restaurant, for instance, me as a customer, because I would probably have fewer errors in my orders.
Yeah, we
forgot to put that in. I don't drive away from that window until I check the bag anymore. I can't tell you how many times there's been stuff that's not been in there.
So I'm going to confess that the very first time I heard about the concept of universal basic income, I screamed, "Socialist!" You know, "Karl Marx!" You know, I freaked out. But then when you start looking at the facts, and I know that my very conservative friends are going, "You traitor!" You know, Musk recommends, and so does Gates, that we adopt a universal basic income. Now, this is sort of like, you know, Britain's dole. It is not a welfare system.
No, it means a basic starting point for people to,
yeah,
you know, so they can eat.
Yes. If you earn more on top of it, they won't take it away from
you. All the more power to you.
Yes.
And there will be jobs available for people to do that. So how would you fund that? There goes back to the taxing of the robotic
because
as if
they
were humans.
People will have to buy goods and services.
Exactly.
And that pumps money back through the economy.
Precisely. It would be an interesting experiment to see how sustainable that is. That's one of the interesting questions about it. In my mind.
Now, here's a good recommendation. Take part of the taxpayer money we're using to subsidize industries that are now mostly automated. Instead, invest it in training programs for emerging engineering jobs. There will be new jobs, and there will be new outlets for creative stuff, because that's the edge that we're going to have for a long time, is creativity, coming up with something completely outside of the program.
Right. And artificial intelligence as such is really not true AI at this point in time. It does not have the ability to create things on its own yet and may not particularly, because it's still a program really when you get down to it. And who does that? Humans are the ones that do that.
Yeah. We still have to come up with the original concept. If you want to find yourself information about automation and economic effects, I'm pulling up the title of a book. It's available through Amazon, and it is coming up right now. The book is called The Second Machine Age, Work, Progress, and Prosperity in a Time of Brilliant Technologies. It is authored by Eric Bjornason and Andrew McAfee. Look for Andrew McAfee. His name is easier to spell. The other guy's name is Norwegian, and it's like... It's got Y's and J's and F's and S's in it.
I have Swedish blood in me, but I never learned anything about how to deal with that.
If you just put in Second Machine Age and then Andrew McAfee, you'll find it on Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kindle edition is about $10, and it certainly looks to be worth checking out.
Oh, my goodness, all of these things. And we will adapt, because that's what humans do. But it does seem a bit, we're wandering into the unknown a little bit, so it is a bit scary to see how these things are going to go. But I have faith in human ingenuity, and we'll be okay. Yeah. It's going to require some adjustment for some people, and probably for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to live another 30 years to see this happen.
Yeah. Be interesting to see the computer come in and sit down and start doing my show here. But
it would be interesting to see the computer come in and do a whole lot of things I don't want to do. Clean the house, cook, this and that. So I have other time. I have free time to sit around and do the things that interest me. Yeah. And I can explore stuff.
Don't you wish you'd bought Apple back when they were just really struggling along?
Yeah, I don't know what their initial offering was.
Let me see here. It doesn't say what it was originally when the IPO went out. Apple shares, however, this week closed. People like to bash Apple. But their shares are up to about $137 a share.
Close to.
So that's an increase of almost 1%. Previous closing record set last Friday. Things have been looking pretty good. The company earned quite a bit last quarter. The new target price for Apple's around $150.
Well, that's, according to an investor type at Morgan Stanley, that's their projection, $150 to $154. It would be nice. How many splits would you have had along the route if you bought Apple way back when initially and still hung on to it all this time?
You bought it during the 2C days or something?
Oh, yeah, oh my gosh. It would be worth quite the chunk of change.
If you bought Apple during the interval between Jobs leaving and Jobs coming back?
I know someone who knows someone that got in on the start of Google. And, he's a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. He sold all his stuff off. Now he does whatever he wants when he wants.
Yeah.
Which sounds kind of nice, but on the other hand, you got to work at something, right?
That can be boring. Yes. Let's see here. We talked about here again. We're back to another Elon Musk story. SpaceX. They had a successful launch, and the booster flew itself back to land on the ground without help from ground control. It just did it on its own.
When you think about that, that is just phenomenal. That is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Having you and I grew up in the moon landing era and such like.
Saturn V.
Then they put cameras on like the space shuttle boosters, and you could watch them break away from the shuttle and fall back towards Earth and such like. We always thought about parts and pieces coming back down that were expendable, but this helps control the cost of space flight.
Right.
And makes they're essentially recycling parts of this. Mm-hmm. That is really amazing when you think about it.
Now, you think about this, the rocket is 40 meters tall, so that's 120 feet.
Roughly. Yeah. A little more than that.
Yeah. Yep. Weighs more than 20 tons. It flew itself back to Earth from space and landed on target at Cape Canaveral. It is, of course, a giant robot. It had internal computers. That's the challenge that CEO Elon Musk set for his reusable rocket team, was to teach the rocket how to fly itself back to Earth. Because think about it. When you launch the rocket, the Earth is turning.
Right.
And the Earth continues to turn underneath the rocket.
Yep.
So it has to fly its way back, calculate its fuel load, slow itself down, and then hit a target that from space is pretty darn small.
I'm sure that there is a lot of GPS sensory equipment on board, and that that has a lot to do with it being able to pinpoint a target on the planet. With all of the those physics going on, without that, it would probably be much more complicated for the rocket to do so. Mm-hmm. Not that it couldn't, because we did calculations to get us on the moon basically with slide rules. We didn't have computers to do that sort of thing.
Here's how good the stuff is getting. In 1997, when the Mars Pathfinder went to Mars, its landing ellipse, in other words, the area where they figured it would come down in, was an ellipse 150 kilometers across. Curiosity was a little more successful. The ellipse was only 20 kilometers across.
Yeah, that was that's the best one so far.
Mm-hmm. SpaceX has its rockets landing within ellipses of around 50 feet.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Yeah. And on seagoing barges. Now, that's quite a...
Yeah, particularly since the probably some wave action and whatnot there.
So SpaceX is the only company that has managed to send a rocket up and have it come back down like we've been watching in science fiction movies for
yeah.
the better part of 100 years.
Well, and that was one thing I was going to bring up, is that this is like science fiction in action, right? Yeah.
So pretty cool stuff. Let's hit one last thing. I'm going to skip on the series story, but people worried about their TV tracking them. Vizio got themselves into a whole bunch of trouble. If you have a streaming television or a smart TV, one of the things you likely agreed to was allowing your TV to track your viewing habits and send information off to advertisers. Vizio was hit with a $2 million fine. If you go into your settings on your TV, you can actually switch off on the 2016 TVs from Samsung, hit home, go to settings, go to support, and in terms of policies, you can uncheck digital interactive services and unclick the agree and turn off voice recognition. So if you're worried about your TV spying on you for the NSA,
you actually have some control over
that.
Right.
And if you go to the article, you see things for your specific TV. Most of these cover Samsungs, which we have. And, you know, I haven't noticed. Our smart TV is I think ours is a 2013, if I'm doing my math correctly. And so far, it hasn't been a big problem for us. But something you may want to be aware of. Now, you will lose some functionality if you turn off the this stuff. But we haven't really discovered any problems with it. I mean, we're watching our Amazon, Netflix, and
HBO.
So far. So if you're worried, and for the most part, there is no proof that your TV set is listening to your every utterance and sending it to the NSA.
Well, if they listened in our house, they wouldn't hear much of anything that is of any interest to anybody other than us. And why on earth would they want to know just the everyday conversations of people? That just doesn't make sense.
Apple TV, if you have the newer model, go to settings, privacy, limit ad tracking, turn it on, and you can also disable sharing of diagnostic and usage data with Apple and other third parties. Pretty much the same with the Chromecast. Your device may vary, but all of them have options for enabling you to disable the tracking.
Of course, at one time I said, why would they want to listen? But they can have AIs go through that and listen for keywords too, like pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And you might be talking about a pressure cooker recipe with somebody.
Yeah. Or that using my pressure job is like a pressure cooker.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's all the time we have for this round. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi along with Brenda Belongi, saying wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar.
Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Vice President Mike Pence says President Trump is planning to make the U.S. military stronger still.
We will rebuild our military. We will restore the arsenal of democracy. We will provide our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard with the resources and training they need to accomplish their mission and come home safe, and we will hunt down and destroy ISIS.
Speaking to the Republican Jewish Coalition in Las Vegas, Pence took the opportunity to once again emphasize the U.S. support for Israel. Talk show host Michael Reagan spoke to CPAC gathering in Maryland yesterday, saying his father, the late former President Ronald Reagan, was given the chance to be his own man in the White House, and President Trump and future presidents should be given the same opportunity.
1980, we weren't looking for Abraham Lincoln, we weren't looking for Thomas Jefferson, we weren't looking for George Washington, we were looking for a leader. I think that's really what people are looking for. In my opinion, nobody's going to stand up to Ronald Reagan. And I think in some ways it does a disservice to people to always try and qualify it and put them up against my father, because they'll pale in comparison.
Reagan said his father faced constant criticism from the media when he was president, but he largely ignored it. Syria's envoy to the peace talks in Geneva demanding that the opposition delegation denounce today's attacks in the Syrian city of Homs as terrorism. Insurgents stormed into heavily guarded security offices and blew themselves up, killing at least 32 people. Malaysian authorities have begun sweeping the airport terminal where North Korean ruler Kim Jong-un's half-brother was killed to check for possible traces of a deadly nerve agent. Autopsy results suggest VX nerve agent was used in the February 13th attack. And former Obama Labor Secretary Tom Perez, the new Democratic Party chair. News and analysis at townhall.com.
This is Michael Medved for Relief Factor with an email that came in from Nicole. She writes, I'm 34 years old and I have severe lower back pain for 20 years, and I've been taking prescription painkillers for about 6 to 7 years now. Even when taking those painkillers, it was pain almost every day for me. I'm just completely amazed now that after 2 days of taking Relief Factor, I've had no more back pain. I'm on my fifth day today and so thankful that my fiance suggested that I try this. Thank you, Relief Factor, for giving me my pain-free life back. You should enjoy a pain-free life, too. Everybody should enjoy a pain-free life, of course, and you can do that with Relief Factor. You know what it is? It's all natural. It's a dietary supplement, completely safe. Just read the testimonials. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Use their quick start to get you set up for 3 whole weeks, just $19.95. ReliefFactor.com. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. ReliefFactor.com.
A disagreement over the right to fish for scallops off of New England is pitting small boats against big boats in one of the most lucrative fisheries in the U.S.
The federal government maintains different rules for the small and big boat fisheries, though they work some of the same areas. Small boat fishermen say the conflict has arisen in the northern Gulf of Maine, a fishing area stretching roughly from Boston to Canada. The U.S. sea scallop fishery has been worth more than $400 million every year since 2010. Scallops are also one of the priciest kinds of seafood and more than $20 per pound.
Correspondent Jeremy House reports the fishery's most important state is Massachusetts, with New Bedford serving as the home base. A Jeep buried in sand in Massachusetts 40 years ago has finally been dug out. Work crews early Friday pulled out the rusted remnants of what John Munsnuff says was once his family's beach buggy at the home they've owned near Boston Beach in Cape Cod. News and stories at townhall.com. There is some good news for the German automaker Volkswagen.
Figures released by Volkswagen show the German automaker bounced back into the black in 2016 after suffering a loss the previous year due to the diesel emissions scandal. The company reported a net profit attributable to Volkswagen AG shareholders of $5.4 billion last year, compared with a net loss in 2015. VW agreed to pay more than $16 billion in buybacks and compensations to owners of VW cars in the U.S. alone. Volkswagen also announced a clampdown on executive bonuses, an issue that has aroused political passions in Germany during an election year. Keith Peters reporting.
A federal judge Friday denied a request from U.S. Justice Department and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to delay a long-running lawsuit over a Texas voter ID law that enables that law and case now to move on to federal court. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hello once again, Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world is what we do. Goodies, gadgets, gizmos, the tech news you can use. Brought to you here in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. So, when you use your Google Now, who talks back to you? When you talk to Alexa, who talks back to you?
Amazon Echo.
Yeah. Your Amazon
Echo. You probably
Echo.
Just fired somebody's
yeah,
Amazon
fired,
Echo off.
Yeah, I probably just did. I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that.
It's pretty amusing.
Or it's amazing how much Sierra sounds like Siri.
Yep.
Which I do not have. I have a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, but I don't have Siri enabled on it except by the push button. I don't have it activated. I don't think so. Hey, Siri. No, okay. It's not activated. Because the reason is I usually use Google Now on my smartphone.
You may have set off a bunch of Apple devices doing that.
Well, that's one of the interesting things. But I don't have them both going, and the reason is I don't want Siri and the Google chick to get into an argument. Get into a little digital cat fight. That would be funny.
We
In fact,
try.
I think somebody's done an internet meme about that, about a Google Now and a Amazon Echo arguing.
But they didn't actually do that. That was a program.
It was faked.
It's pretty funny, though.
But generally speaking, there is the response is in a female voice. That's the default for most personal digital assistants. Is that, do you regard that as a sexist thing, Brenda?
No.
Okay. Apparently some people disagree with that. Studies cited by the Wall Street Journal show that sexist attitudes are alive and well when it comes to preferences for gender in the voices of intelligent assistants.
And the reason I don't think it's sexist is because in all these cases, you have an opportunity to pick a female sounding voice or a male sounding voice. There is no only one choice.
Well, actually, on a couple of them, there are.
Well, there may be. That's true. But if you don't like that, go to another device.
Yeah.
So maybe they're sexist. But the thing is, there's a very good technological reason.
Yes, there
that
is.
That is preferred.
We'll get to that in just a moment. An Indiana University study found that both men and women prefer a female voice, finding it welcoming, warm, and nurturing. Microsoft and Amazon found the same thing in their own research. Even more tellingly, a Stanford University study reveals that preferences for male or female voices depend on the subject matter. Study showed that a male voice was preferred when learning about computers, but a female voice when hearing about love and relationships. I think that's garbage. I don't follow that one for a minute.
Well, couple things come to my mind here. A lot of this depends on how you ask the questions.
Yeah.
And while this research may be viable, the content of methodology is very important in these cases. So I won't say I discount their research, because I'm sure they had, you know, blind controls and all of this kind of stuff. But in reality, there's an excellent book out there called Everyday Bias. It's an interesting read. And we are hardwired for bias as human beings. And so when this comes up, it bothers me sometimes, because it says, oh, this is such a social injustice and this and that. And yes, there's times and places where that does occur, I have no doubt. But
you put up with it.
Well, it's going to exist because we are human.
Yeah.
And that, does that make it right? Not necessarily, but
it does make it a reality of how many millions of years of evolution.
Right. And so it's, you know, you can go into all the social discussions, and that is definitely way outside the realm of Boomer Tech Radio. But we want to talk about a technological point of view associated with this.
Right. Peace notes that Alexa, Google Assistant, Cortana, all default to male voices. Only Siri gives you the opportunity to switch over to a male voice. But it isn't a sexist thing per se. Back in the 1950s, the United States Air Force ran extensive experiments that determined when there was high background noise, and anybody who has a family knows this, that mom's voice cuts through the background clutter a lot more efficiently than dad's voice.
And not just
because...
it's
a matter of timbre.
Right. It's not just because it's mom either.
Male voices are closer in frequency to background noise such as humming fans, wind.
The lower frequencies.
More resonant frequencies. Whereas a female voice is slightly higher in pitch and is more likely to get through with better intelligibility. That's not sexist. That's acoustics.
Yeah, that is science.
Your ear is tuned to pick up the mid-range frequencies, boys and girls.
We have had this experience when operating ham radio, that listening as well as broadcasting, that my voice will come through more clearly than Bob's does, or we've been listening, and when the female voice comes through, is much more intelligible and decipherable in the same situations. Two people at the same place broadcasting on the same radio, and the female voice will come through. So there is a technical side to this that makes having female voices be preferential, and it may not be a sexist issue. It may be the fact that people can hear it, and so it looks like it's linked to gender, but is it really?
Yeah, it isn't. Now, I could probably pitch shift my voice into a higher register so it would come out sounding female. It would still be me speaking, but it would be more likely to cut through the clutter. So it isn't sexist. It isn't oppressing women. It's physics and physiology.
Well, certainly part of it is that.
But these people get paid huge sums of money to feed narratives.
What's interesting about this is...
I rage.
Well, what I find interesting about this in the survey, again, it's all about how you ask the questions and the elements that you're looking at. This study was done in a social setting. It was not done in a technological acoustics setting perspective. And they didn't address that part of the equation.
Completely ignored it because it didn't fit the narrative.
Well, I don't know if they went so far as to do that. It's just that it just never occurred to them. They probably don't have knowledge of the Air Force study and things like that. Perhaps they don't. They don't think about it that as being part of the issue. And so this is one piece in a whole large puzzle. And like I said, it's what you ask and how you ask it and what you're actually pursuing to parse out. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I think people would rather listen to your voice than mine.
Well, I don't know.
Hey,
I don't know what I sound like. I hear myself on the radio and
who the hell
it's so interesting how we don't sound to ourselves like we sound to others. That is just very interesting. In more ways than one, you know. That's not what I meant. That's what I know. So it's like, I know you heard the words that I said, but I'm not sure that you understand what the meaning was of those words that
you
I said.
Keep on using that word.
Yeah, exactly.
Bitcoin closing in on an all-time high. Now, people have been trying to write Bitcoin off for 5 years now, that it'll never work. But blockchain currencies are still alive and well.
What did you call them?
Blockchain currencies, which is a very secure digital signature that can be used to encompass a value.
Otherwise known as cryptocurrencies.
Cryptocurrency, yes. Early trading on the U.S. run is Bitcoin is up 1.4%. It is now selling for about $1,123 a coin. That's higher for the ninth straight session, and will move in on the all-time high. Securities and Exchange Commission will probably approve at least one of the three proposed Bitcoin-focused exchange-traded funds. Now, analysts are concerned that none of them will be approved, but this is something that is not just going away.
Now, it's quite persistent.
Yeah. Now, China has said that they're going to crack down on it. Governments love to maintain control over the money, especially when it comes to international transfers. And I understand the criminal element.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without that, you have a certain amount of destabilization and things.
It's like governments would love to just do away with all cash transactions because it's harder to tax those when you're being paid under the table. Personally, I'd rather pay cash more and more.
Yep.
Particularly because of all the credit card hacking going on.
Yep, fewer and fewer opportunities to have your credit card hacked. Yep.
Let's see. We haven't picked on Samsung this week.
Poor Samsung.
Well, actually,
they've had a number of manufacturing disasters, and then the president of the company, right?
Yeah.
Lead of the company got indicted, I believe, for criminal activities.
Lee Jae-yong, company's vice president, current acting leader, was arrested for allegedly attempting to bribe the president of South Korea. And they still haven't closed out the Galaxy Note 7 chapter, facing tons of lawsuits. But they keep on making money. According to a forecast, the company's operating profit in the first quarter expected to increase by 40%. Year over year to 9.3 trillion won, which is about $8.1 billion.
That's amazing.
That's not exactly chicken feed.
Nope. But keep in mind now that's a lot of that is a forecast, and reality may be something quite different. But the point is that they are in no danger of going under anytime soon by all appearances. That isn't to say that big technology cannot take a hit. In a relatively short period of time, IBM comes to mind. Samsung seems to have some ability to adapt and whatnot. And maybe they're just the first of large companies like that. They're going to have technological problems like the Note 7. Some other company could easily have the same thing. Apple could have the same thing.
Yeah.
Any of them.
It shows now obviously their smartphone brand has taken a beating, but in the manufacturing sector, Samsung semiconductors, the big pieces you were talking previously, about things that go out to make up other things, that part of Samsung's business is still doing great.
Yep. And their smartphones, people will forget. And they'll come back because it has features or a price or something like that that is often the case.
Over its history, Apple has laid more than a few eggs, and they have come back from it.
Absolutely.
So, let's see here. I was going to check the clock here. Now, we all have heard about IBM Watson. I skipped forward a couple pages because I didn't find the cat doodle story to be particularly interesting. But people can look at Flipboard and see what I'm talking about. So I encourage you to check Flipboard because occasionally
we don't carry every story. You know, we don't talk about every story.
I'll pull a story up that looks interesting, and then I'll go back and kind of check it a little further and go, I can't do anything with this. but, of course, Watson.
Well, some of them are kind of interesting.
It's an artificial intelligence technology, machine learning technology. Let's not overuse the term artificial intelligence because we're really not there yet. We have machines that learn very, very quickly. Now, the Watson technology has helped doctors before, usually by looking through databases. Now it's ready to look at patients themselves, or rather body scans. It's a clinical imaging review. It's a picture-based cognitive computing solution because, you know, a radiologist is trained to look at those gray swirls and blobs and lines and stuff on a radiograph and make sense of it all.
Interestingly enough, in experiments with bias and whatnot, speaking of radiologists, they purposely, in a study, they purposely put an image of a gorilla or Sasquatch, more like that, walking upright, right in the middle of x-rays and asked radiologists to look at it. And most of them didn't even see it.
Completely missed it.
They completely missed it. But I know why. Because they're looking for patterns, and that did not meet their expectation of pattern. And so they saw it probably, but they didn't cognitively analyze it because it was not something that fit what they're looking for. So very interesting stuff.
So you said the key word right there, patterns.
Right.
What are image systems that are computer-based better at than any human?
Oh, any repeated pattern.
Spotting a repeated pattern.
Absolutely.
So because the imaging tech will be used to diagnose patients with aortic stenosis, where the heart's aortic valve narrows and constricts blood flow, Watson will combine heart imagery with medical records to spot patients who might need follow-up treatments. The approach will eventually expand to cover heart attacks, heart muscle disease, deep vein thrombosis, and valve disorders. Now, the solution won't be made widely available to healthcare facilities until later this year. It's hoped that the impact will be worth the wait. The spokesperson said Watson promises to improve both quality and consistency of diagnosis. Because let's suppose, and I know a lot of radiologists are going to say, well, nothing can substitute for the human fact, for a human looking at this stuff. Well, I would agree up to a point. But if the radiologist, who's had a long week, just got done looking at 50 scans, and this is the 51st, and it's 4:59 p.m. on a Friday,
might not
there
be as focused.
There is a possibility,
right,
of missing something.
Not to mention the fact that the beauty of this is that it can take data from a bazillion different sources and put it all together and determine what these patterns really are, whereas any given physician is going to see far fewer of these in their career time, and that they're building up their personal library. So this AI can use a larger data set. It can find that very quickly or look for patterns that are maybe not so obvious. And the other thing about this is non-invasive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really know what's going on in there, you have to kind of do some drastic measures, open up the chest or whatever in the case of a heart. And that itself is fraught with a lot of problems. But if you can use remote sensing to adequately determine what's happening in there and then relate that to what actually is going on to what the imagery is showing, then you can say, oh, a person that has this, this is not unlike what we do in weather forecasting.
Right.
Where there is...
You have the model.
You have the model, and you have the reality, and you look at the reality, and over time you begin to realize, well, when the model does this, it doesn't do well with that, or oh, yeah, when we get one of these weather patterns, then this is when we have something happen. And I'll use getting a snow forecast for Reading as a perfect example, is that it takes a very special set of circumstances to get snow here in Reading.
Right.
And it's difficult to forecast.
Yeah.
And but we know what those patterns are. There's two distinct patterns, and we can see those coming. But it takes a while to build up that library of knowledge.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, several generations of forecasters to figure that out.
So I imagine that a pretty good pile of data is being accumulated from this year's winter storm pattern in Northern California.
Of course.
That will add to
Absolutely.
The knowledge.
It's always being added to. When you, weather in particular, and you look at medicine at the level we are, where we are, really does not have that big a database because you don't have much length of record, right?
Yeah.
And you have... if you're lucky, 170 years of weather records. And that is a blip in the time scale.
Long-term climate. Yeah.
Absolutely. That is just a micro dot. So, of course, there's other ways they can tell what was going on through tree rings and such like, ice cores and a whole bunch of other things. So we have some build background that goes beyond that, but details. So these databases that they're building for these, I myself, you know, it's like, well, do you want to share that data with the world? In this case, I would, because it's building a database to help other people in the future. That's just my take on it. That kind of wandered off from where we were, the fact that they can do this is again, it's just really amazing.
Now you could see maybe especially in the Midwest where, you know, the tornado systems generate very rapidly, and you have computers right now that look for signatures that tornadoes create in the clouds.
They take the radar data. The radar data is analyzed. And presented.
Imagine something like a Watson system that is analyzing a very wide area.
It's coming.
It could give you that extra couple of minutes to fire off the sirens.
Weather forecasting will, and warnings to some extent, will be, AIs will be used for that.
Yeah.
And that's partly what, when the weather industry saw the Doppler radar, which is not a true Doppler radar. It's actually a pseudo-Doppler, which takes technical explanation. But the effect is Doppler, where you can look at whether the particles that are the radar is hitting are moving towards you or away from you. When that hit the industry, oh, my gosh, amazing things happened. So the new radar, which was from 1988, which seems a long time ago. At the time, it was pretty modern. And there have been upgrades to sensors and software processing to that, for sure. But when that first came out, the lead times on tornadoes jumped forward tremendously because it was much easier to spot those signatures developing with the analysis and color and the Doppler and that whole thing rather than conventional radar, which had been used up to that time, 1957 technology. You had to really, it's sort of like that radiologist, you had to really know what you were looking at.
I've been reading about smaller radar systems that from multiple locations that actually can start painting a three-dimensional
image
of what's going on in a storm system instead of just a – because you have a 3D system that we're just looking at a slice of.
Right.
So it's like an X-ray versus an MRI.
Or in the oldest radars that I ever worked with, it was basically cross-section. You had – you know, you could look at it vertically and whatnot, but you just saw the whole collective cross section, kind of like the imagery looked like an X-ray. You didn't have any details of those three-dimensional details. And the current radar, the 1988 WSR-88 radars, they do sort of develop a three-dimensional picture of things, but they do it on a slice-by-slice basis, and actually it's a cone, but
it's
the same layer-by-layer
layer
thing. But if you could have, you know, more of an HD-type system from different points of view, you could definitely develop a 3D.
Yeah, well, there's these new HD radars that use less power and cheaper to build because installations for the weather service are millions of dollars.
Well, and they probably have a short range, but that allows you, if they're cheaper, you can have them all over the place and you know, develop more localized stuff, because we do have vast areas in this country that are not covered by weather radar. It's just no man's land out there, and we don't really have a clue. Certainly the radar doesn't tell us anything, because there is no radar.
Yep. Coming up on the break, but one more story. Swiss engineering group ABB, and I've seen some of their stuff, said Wednesday it fell victim to a sophisticated criminal scheme at its South Korean subsidiary. The chief suspect was an executive responsible for ethics.
Wow. Okay.
The executive was named Oh Myung-se, treasurer and one of two integrity ombudsmen for ABB Korea. Staff were supposed to report any ethical concerns. He was also the head of compliance at ABB. He's suspected now of forging documents, including with third parties. ABB estimates that he managed to make off with about $100 million before disappearing.
Wow.
In his late 50s, left for Hong Kong on February 4th, 4 days before the company filed a complaint against the executive. They claim that he embezzled a combined, get this, 35 billion won. Okay, that's about $31 million in 73 transactions, adding that police were investigating the man's accounts. The chief executive described the alleged fraud as shocking news, and they're already under investigation for bribery and corruption. Shareholders are having a bad time. So they're having their own Samsung moment.
Yeah, in terms of highly placed executives doing bad things.
Yeah, and that does not help consumer confidence.
No,
now,
ABB it does
mostly
not.
Sells to other companies, but
still, they have customers.
Yeah, they do have customers. It's Boomer Tech Radio, back for one more segment, more tech news that you can use right after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road, call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
It's termite swarm season again when termites quickly expand their already large colonies. Because of the quiet and hidden nature of termites, they are often undetected until the damage has already occurred. If you suspect your house has termites, call the professionals at Big Time Pest Control immediately for a free estimate. Big Time Pest Control will guarantee extermination of termites, insects, spiders, and rodents. Call 530-242-8830. Big Time service at a price you can afford. Big Time Pest Control.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
And welcome back, Boomer Tech Radio, with Bob and Brenda Belongi. The tech news you can really use, at least we hope you can. Hey, our theme music is composed and performed by George Wood, called 8-Bit Junkie, and is being used by permission. We got it off the PodSafe Music Network, which is good because sooner or later this show will be a podcast on a regular basis. Now, you can already go to BoomerTechRadio.com and download episodes of the show. We've been doing that since the first of the year, and I post occasional missives and thoughts and observations on the tech news during the week.
We have other jobs.
We do have, yeah.
And we are the staff. So it's, we're a little slow, but we're working on it.
Yeah, tech guy has, he must have like 10 people working for him or something.
You know? Who knows? Yeah. He has a staff and he does this full time. Yeah. That is his job. So well, we're wandering in that direction, but it's taking us a little while.
Now, if I had to name the things that I hear Brenda, comment upon frequently in her office.
Passionately.
The sort of comments that have the cats running for cover.
That are not publishable on the radio either.
It would be her switching on her PC, her laptop, and it immediately goes into an update.
Which, during the work week, I don't really get on the laptop that much because I use the tablet. And then the weekend I have more serious work to do. It's faster. You know, I mean, the processor's faster. And I'll turn it on and there'll be some update going on. And I have learned that when this thing goes in the update mode, you best find something else to do for a while.
I should learn
to turn it on the night before.
I'm still fighting with my Dell laptop that has a certain update. And I haven't, it's going to take me time to sleuth it out which update is forcing it into the endless blue screen of death. But it happens about once a month, and the thing just locks up, and I have to restart it like four times to get it back.
Better you than me. I have no patience with that sort of thing, or sleuthing it out. But you love that kind of stuff, which is why you're so good at this.
So the computer guy in New York Times got a question about Microsoft seems to update Windows to 10 constantly, it results in computer freezes and other issues for me. If I wanted to switch, and here it comes, is there a real advantage to Apple software as opposed to Microsoft? Now, I live in both worlds. I use, here in the studio, I actually have a DOS machine on one side. I have my...
That's ancient history.
Yeah, that is ancient history. most of our stuff here at the radio station runs on a Mac Mini. But I also use a Windows-based laptop, and I'm doing this show mostly working off of a iPad, and Brenda uses her Galaxy Tab.
Well,
by the way, there's a sexy new Galaxy Tab coming out that's like running rings.
No,
around
you can't have one.
No. Maybe you'll get one for Christmas.
Well, maybe I don't want one. I don't have to have the latest and greatest, but for sure. But then Bob's that. But the point Bob is making is that he wanders in all worlds, and he's here to tell you that the reply that this guy made in the New York Times is all too true, and that is, you know what? It doesn't really matter what operating system you're in. Software upgrades are software upgrades, and they have problems. Witness Apple had a disaster a few upgrades ago.
The iOS upgrade that just bricked a lot of phones.
Yes.
Apple has rolled out system upgrades that have caused disruptions for Mac users when certain hardware and software stopped working together, sending upset users to online support forums and tech help sites. System updates afterward often fix the problems, but the big deal is outdated driver software and programs that are incompatible with the new system software can hinder any platform. Now, some users have said Apple is just too aggressive in pushing out these updates.
Microsoft.
I stand corrected. Yes, Microsoft is too darned aggressive pushing out updates. I can agree with that, that they sometimes
update.
Yeah,
going on.
And it's fairly constant.
But you have control over that.
Yeah. Now, and when the update causes a problem, which you experience, it knocked out your wireless connection.
Right. That apparently
so
is fairly frequent.
So it could not break out of that loop.
Right.
It was stuck.
Right.
So what I had to do is take Brenda's computer into my office, plug a cable, and you can do this at home.
Hardwire it.
Yeah. Get your Ethernet cable the way we used to connect all our computers. Odds are on your router or however you connect to the internet, you will have an open port. If not, unplug something and make one just for this operation. Plug one end into the router, the other end into your laptop or desktop that is suffering. Turn it on and walk away.
Yep.
Let it do its thing. The odds are 90% that it will cure the issue.
Yep.
Just don't poke at it. A lot of people, they get frustrated and they'll click the mouse like mad and start rattling away on the keyboard, or they'll just switch it off in the middle of an update.
Which does not solve the problem.
That can open up a whole new can of worms.
True enough, but it also doesn't solve the problem because when you come back and turn it back on. So I've learned what the symptoms of the updates are. First of all, in most computers, you can see a little icon flashing somewhere on a laptop. It'll probably be up somewhere above the keyboard. Desktops, you can see it on the face of the computer somewhere near the power button usually. And it's a little thing that flashes, and it's shaped like a cylinder, so that's telling you that the disk is working.
Yeah.
And when the disk is in pretty constant use, that little symbol will be flickering or on quite a bit. When that's happening, there's background stuff going on that is not even apparent to you, and just best let it be until that quits working so hard.
Now, if your computer is running really slow, but you are on your desktop, open up Task Manager.
Right.
That's the three-finger salute that we all know and love.
You can do that on your laptop as well.
Yeah. Control-Alt-Delete. That will bring up Task Manager, and then you can look at what the computer is doing. And if your CPU activity is way up there and your disk activity is way up there, you're probably stuck
probably
in an update.
Doing an update. Hopefully that's not malware, and the best thing you can do is walk away for a while.
Leave it alone for an hour.
Your other device out, like your tablet or your e-reader, and do something. Go cook a meal. Do something. Laundry. Go for a walk. You know, take a nap. I mean, we're talking
order
a longer term.
Pizza.
Yeah, order out a pizza, what have you, unless you use your device to order online. But does Apple have that same Control-Alt-Delete feature? It's different on an Apple device, right?
Yeah, different. Rarely do you actually have to. Usually you will at least have the Apple icon up in a corner, and there is a system monitor that you can access to see what your computer is up to. And I forget the code to activate system monitor. There's a bunch of neat little Apple tricks, like if it's just really giving you a problem, you can boot up into Apple's version of the safe mode to bring up a minimal set of drivers so you can diagnose what is going on with your system. The neat thing about Apple, of course, is that if you've got it tied especially to iCloud, is you can if you suspect a hardware problem, you can take the drive out, walk over to another Mac, plug the drive in, boot it there, and look at what's going on. Conversely, you can take a known good hard drive, bring it over to another Mac, plug it into the one that's misbehaving, and diagnose whether you got a hardware or software problem.
Quite frankly, I don't see a lot of people doing that.
Yeah, but it's something that it's a common troubleshooting tool.
Right.
And it's something that you can do uniquely on the Apple platform. Now, I know that you can probably do something like this. We have a big Linux fan who listens to the show frequently. And I agree like I said last week, Linux is a lean, mean operating machine. It's the Porsche. It's the Lamborghini. Trouble is, most people have no business driving a Porsche or a Lamborghini.
Yeah, well, it's a challenge to drive, exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, is that not that many people are going to be into the command-heavy structure of Linux. And it's not difficult. It's just...
You can get yourself into it because it's so powerful. Yeah. You can get yourself into a lot of trouble quickly.
And the commands are cryptic and they're like programming. So that's all right if you want to learn that language. Most people would just rather point and click or touch.
Yeah, doing something from terminal for most people is scary stuff.
Yeah,
you're launching the rocket.
You can get yourself in trouble if you really sort of know what you're doing. Yeah. So that's. No argument about Linux's capabilities. It's just not for everyone.
Now, if you do ordinary computer things such as surf the web, watch online content, basic word processing, things like that, then most people can very easily shift over to Apple, or they can shift over to the Chrome OS, or they can shift over to Linux if you're not doing something particularly elaborate. No problems. In fact, Linux is a great way to put an old computer back on, on its feet.
Yep. Low overhead operating system.
And one thing that I do, because I work on multi-platform, is that my default word processing application is Google Docs. And Google Docs stores in the cloud, and I can work on a Word, and it will save in the Microsoft DocX format. That's what's kind of cool. You can send somebody a Word document without having to spend the couple of $100 to buy Word. And it will save in that format. But I can create the document on my home PC, edit it here on the Mac Mini, finalize it on my iPad, and then review it on my Android phone before I send it off.
Right.
That's very powerful.
That is. That's very nice.
Another solution for a lot of people is OpenOffice, which is a alternative to the Microsoft suite, and that's free. It's not as super functional as it used to be, but OpenOffice is a very powerful system. It's a very good full-feature word processor if you don't need the absolute functionality of Windows. And you've created, I think, on OpenOffice stuff that runs on PowerPoint, right?
Yes.
Or you have run PowerPoints on your OpenOffice.
Yes, and I've made changes that seem to stay in place. I haven't played with that a lot, so I don't know where the hiccups might be.
I would say that it is mostly compatible.
Yeah, and if you know PowerPoint, you can run the equivalent in OpenOffice. It takes a little bit of hunting to find some things, but certainly a PowerPoint program or a file, I believe, will run on that just fine.
Yeah.
It may not have all of the animation features and things like that, but you can do the simple stuff with no problem, for sure.
Let's see here. Amazon Media sales during the year 2016 jumped up almost 8%. That's one of the few areas in entertainment that actually saw substantial growth. That includes print and e-books and online music that increased 7.5% over 2015. And overall, Amazon has increased revenues by about 25% since 2015. So that's pretty good stuff. We are using now. I've got through Amazon. We're watching a lot of shows through Amazon. We subscribe to our music through Amazon Music Unlimited. And, of course, we're getting our HBO through our Amazon Fire Stick. So the integration, and that's going to improve. By the way, I'm showing our blind friend Jack some of the things that the Amazon Echo is capable of doing on voice command, because he is blind and he can't operate a mouse and screen type computer. So he's going to consider bringing the other woman into his house. Now, she may argue with him, but
I don't know. I once the novelty wears off, I'm not sure how sustainable that relationship is going to be.
Well, one of the improvements, and I this was a story I meant to cover a couple of weeks ago, that okay, I'm trying to pull up a story here, and all I'm getting is a bunch of adverts. Okay,
yeah, yeah. It's see, a now video. You know what I get frustrated with.
Yeah. It's a video, and I'm not going to sit here and watch a video and read it back to you. I'm unhappy when this it purports to be a story. The story is
A series of slides.
Yeah, seven amazing technologies we'll see by 2030. No, it's an actual video.
Oh, I see.
And that's annoying because I wanted to share that story, but.
Speaking of communication, there's a couple things going on out there. Cult of Mac is reporting that if you buy one iPhone 7, you get one free
on ATT,
the BOGO. Buy one, get one. We actually got our Samsung Galaxy S7s that way. And with, in this case, Verizon. And that brings up the thing. There's been some ads out there. With Verizon saying that they have unlimited data deals.
And you've discovered.
Oh, yeah. So I looked into that to say, well, you know, what's the actual deal here?
It depends on what you mean by unlimited.
Yes, it does depend on what you mean by unlimited. So do your homework because with that deal from Verizon, yeah, it's, what is it? They're advertising, I think, $45 a line up to four lines and a given account. That part is fine, but when you look at how they measure out the data, and they do, and they tell you that in the deal, be very careful. Ask some questions about, you know, do they throttle this after a certain point? And what I read indicated that after you've used a certain amount of data, your data rate will slow down.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens with, like, the HughesNet satellite.
Yep.
Once you hit your cap, they don't cut you off.
Nope.
But your speed drops to dial-up.
Yep. And so this is something you need to be aware of as a consumer, is that don't expect to have unlimited data at the rate that you've been used to getting it.
You're not going to run BitTorrent off your phone.
Right. There may, you know, you have to judge what is most valuable to you. In other words, maybe you don't mind that throttling and that speed slows down. Maybe that is not an issue for you, in which case that might be a good deal. But if that's important, you're running a business, what have you, it may not be such a good deal. It's the old adage of anything that seems too good to be true probably is. Yeah. And, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. In other words, look very carefully at the restrictions that are associated with that. You know, they tell you the headline, but they don't tell you the whole story.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been cautiously using our data plan because we have
a set limit.
Three phones and iPad.
We have a set limit.
All on a single data plan.
Right.
And we have a fairly high cap, and I've been pretty cautious. If you're not watching movies on your data plan, which is kind of silly, go find a Wi-Fi connection and download the stupid thing.
Well, that does make the most sense.
But if you're tethering a lot, things like that, you have multiple devices that are tethering and all
using
pulling
it as
data
a hot
through
spot.
The connection.
Yeah.
You can crowd your data plan pretty close, but so far, and
we have bazillions.
Yeah. I haven't managed to crowd our data plan too hard.
Not to mention the fact that we also have a rollover. Mm-hmm. Feature now, which they used to do with your minutes on cell phones. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Where you had a cap on the number of limits, a cap on the number of minutes in your cell phone. They would then they developed the rollover where you could carry the minutes from one month to the next for X number of months. In this case, it is only month to month, but whatever you have not used, the plan that we have, whatever you've not used in your data from the last billing cycle will be rolled over into add to the current billing cycle. So sometimes you travel, something happens, whatever, and you find yourself using more data than usual. And if you go over your typical monthly cap with this rollover plan, then you'll have some cushion there because when you get overages, they charge a lot for every gig over a certain
amount.
Talking
50 cents a meg or something.
Yeah, something. It's
bites.
It does. It's very expensive. A friend of ours found that out the hard way, in fact.
Found out that streaming music around the clock, even when the person was asleep, still counts.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because you're tapping into it. So,
question. The next web asks, is Facebook a country? Now, when you think it sounds a little weird, but let's think about this.
Well, it has a population, a community.
Bigger than the population of India.
Yep.
Its 2016 revenue was about the same as Estonia's gross domestic product. It has a national ethos. Now, America's philosophy is capitalism, Cuba's is communism, Sweden's is social democracy. Facebook is togetherness. Now, I haven't come out of my semi-boycott of the social network, the anti-social network.
Well, you haven't completely boycotted it.
Semi-boycott. I was using it mostly to push the show, and I have made a few, but I've completely steered free of the political roadkill stuff. I mean, I posted a picture of a rock that landed on a highway that I thought it was highway that you and I traveled.
It's, thank goodness it isn't. we're talking about a rock. This thing's big as a house.
It is.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It covers both lanes of the road. Unbelievable. Taller than a phone pole next to the road.
Yeah. It's quite impressive.
Is that I'm hoping they don't find a 2-inch tall Toyota underneath
Yeah,
this.
That would be really bad timing.
So, given all of the above facts, any surprise that Denmark, God bless them, considering appointing a big tech ambassador, his or her job will be to establish and manage the company's relationship with the world's most powerful tech companies. Now, no other country has designated a specific tech ambassador. Their job will be to be a liaison with the likes of Twitter, Google, and Facebook. Now, a lot of European companies have very complicated relationships with big American tech companies when it comes to things like taxation, privacy, and national security, and they want Google to go away so somebody will buy stuff in their country.
Well, yeah, that's said sarcastically, but there is an element of truth to that.
The European Union wants, and it's all about, you know, stalling out overseas competition in favor of your stuff, which I'm sorry, I have yet to see the Europeans come up with anything that is on a scale of Facebook that doesn't stink. You know, the Chinese at least have their Baidu or whatever their social. They have a Chinese social network heavily regulated, but it's along the same lines. I haven't seen much in Europe that
better not mention
parallels that.
Pressure cooker. On the Chinese side, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they haven't actually put a person in this slot yet. They're looking for an individual that would meet with that. But, you know, maybe this is a good idea overall in the industry, the tech industry, because establishing standards is a good thing. You know, if you go to the hardware store and you want a quarter-inch bolt. And that there's standards within the industry about all that kind of stuff. So company A's nuts and washers fit on company Z's bolts. So I could see this leading
the
into some of that as well.
NSTA, National Standards. It's a screw thread manufactured by company A meets company B.
Right.
National standards.
Right. That's
thing.
What I'm saying. So maybe this is a step in that direction, perhaps there's a social, possibly there's a social aspect to this.
National Institute of Standards and Technology.
There you go.
Yeah, they determine a lot of this stuff, along with IEEE, which is standards for all of our electronic
stuff.
Finally, remember we talked about the Amazon Echo that was possibly witness to a murder?
Yes, that's some news ago.
Amazon continues to resist law enforcement demands to hand over audio recordings for an Echo involved in an Arkansas murder investigation. The tech titan has filed a motion to throw out a search warrant from prosecutors, arguing that the user's voice commands and replies are protected by the First Amendment. As such, the demand must be subjected to a heightened standard. Prosecutors must prove they can't find the information elsewhere and demonstrate a compelling need for the recordings. So this could be a real interesting. Let us suppose that there is an incident and you had a smart TV or some other smart device.
In this particular thing, the involved the death of an individual. The circumstances appeared to be somewhat inconclusive about what's going on, and the prime suspect's statements. You know, they want to be able to prove it. So apparently they found an Echo speaker streaming music near the scene of the crime, at the scene of the crime, and authorities believe there's a possibility that the Amazon Echo was activated with a wake word either intentionally or accidentally at around the time of the victim's death. And so they believe that a recording could shed light on what happened. For instance, whether the suspect was awake when he claimed to be asleep at that time. But my question is, how would that prove anything? Because there's no voice recognition in this. It doesn't say, you know, it doesn't recognize my voice from your voice. And our Amazon Echo will respond equally. So I'm not sure how that would work. So one would have to know a little bit more about the technology to figure out how this is going to work out.
Well, that's all the time for this round. Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-